Wow, great to be out together tonight. I just wanted to share initially, anyway, some thoughts around the name Prophet, because I know I've had a few people over the time say to me, you know, you spelt that wrong, eh? 1 Corinthians 12, 7-10, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. First and foremost, we remember that the gift of prophecy is there to build up, to bless, to encourage one another, okay? Prophet. So that's what the first little thought. And the second one was that we are to train. The Greek word is, I'm going to butcher this, but just forgive me, gymnazo. Which means where we get the word gymnasium from, okay? So that word is used in 1 Timothy 4:7, which says, exercise yourself unto godliness. It's also used in Hebrews 5:14, but which says, in the Amplified Version anyway, but solid food is for full-grown men whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice. And that whole idea there of that word training is through repetition and weight bearing. So that's where you get the whole idea of gymnasium from. And so I'm unapologetic that I'll spend maybe half of this time teaching and training in the prophetic, and half of it we will do activations, and we'll gradually be building them up and hopefully having you become more and more uncomfortable as time goes on, because no gym is worth its weight. It's not worth the money unless you actually build muscle. You're not going there just for coffee or something, okay? You're going there to actually build muscle. So the aim is to actually make it a little bit more uncomfortable all the time so that we stretch and we have something to push against, which is often our own fear and our own insecurities and our own, just feelings of awkwardness, you know? It's just what we have to push against. All right, so how does God communicate with us? I said this morning, some people think God never speaks to me. What I hope to unpack tonight is that God is always speaking. When I had the opportunity a while ago to share this message with some children, and I use this example. I'm not saying you're a bunch of kids. What I'm saying is it helps to understand. I talked to the children, I said, what's it like when you're playing with Lego and you're just totally focused on that and you've got something really awesome there, and Mum comes in and she says something like, oh, come on, we're going to the shops now. Do you always hear her? And they all said no. It's exactly the same with us. We get focused on what we're doing. We get busy about what we're doing. It's not intentional often, but often we just simply don't hear the voice of God, but he's always speaking. All right, now, how does he speak to us? There's a whole list of things, and I'm just going to run over some of them, and then I might actually, I'm going to do that right now. Where's no one today? Come on up for me. I'd like you to tell me how God speaks to you. Talk about putting you on the spot. Here we go.
In various ways, probably the still small voice and through vision would be the two main ways I hear God speak to me.
Yeah, very good. Certain thoughts that will come. That's just not your own thinking, and you just immediately weigh that up. The other thing is internal visual impressions. That's quite a common way for me.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'll see it on the inside, if that makes any sense. It's like I'll see a picture on the inside, not so much outwardly for me, but it's internal, and but also through nature and through events. That's how, you know, that's one strong way that the Lord speaks to me. Yeah.
Wes wanted dreams added to his list. Anything else, darling? You good?
And my wife.
Your wife. There we go. All right. So, I mean, even just there, you saw the variation. And he will speak in many different ways to different people, often depending on how you're wired, but also depending on how you've gotten used to hearing him speak. I mean, how many of you here have spoken in tongues and then after a while find that you can actually change your dialect or whatever it is and speak in a different sounding tongue? I remember one time we were in Zimbabwe and suddenly I was doing these weird little click sounds like an African bushman would be using. I thought, man, I could never do this normally, but my tongue changed completely while I was over there. It was really cool. Haven't come back since. But anyway, all of that to say that there's different ways. Visions of the mind, in your mind's eye, you mentioned that. Ephesians 1:17-18, the Passion Translation says, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination. Some of you look a wee bit shocked. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination. Who was told as a little kid, it's just your imagination? Who was told as an adult, it's just your imagination? Who has thought as an adult, it's just your imagination? Okay, I want to challenge you tonight, challenge us all tonight, that God actually uses our imagination like a giant whiteboard in our head, and he will draw pictures on that. And if you learn to interpret the pictures and the things that you're seeing, rather than just wipe it off as being just your imagination, you'll actually find that you're hearing from God a lot more than you give yourself credit for, okay? In light of that, how about we really look to guard our mind and our imagination? What are you allowing to come into your eye gate, your ear gate, music you might be listening to, movies or things you might be looking at? Let's keep that whole area. You know, if we try to write on a whiteboard and it's already got stuff all over it written on, and you're trying to read it, you know, you're going to struggle to actually see what's there. Keep it as clean as you can so you get nice clean pictures, all right? Now, so an open-eyed vision can superimpose over what you see in the natural. That's another way that God will show us. Some people will see words, some people will see colours, some people will see like a movie showing over the actual thing that they're looking at, and they'll see a movie. Some people I've talked to, and they'll see like almost like a moving billboard with words going across what they're looking at. It may be very quick or far more detailed. For me, sometimes I've seen things, it's almost like someone shows me a postcard or a photograph, and I'll see it and it'll just be there and gone. And then sometime later, I could take that thing and completely superimpose it over what's actually happening. It just like fits perfectly. And the time in 1996 when I had 3 days open-eyed visions, in there, amongst that time, there were times that I got like these short little postcard type photograph visions. One was of this land with a whole lot of white trucks on it, and there were these men unloading stuff, trees and things from the trucks onto the land, and I knew that they were free. So we purchased in time, we purchased the land, and we went in partnership with the city council, and they'd insisted that they had the right to do the planting strip. At the time they had orange trucks, I think, but as years went by they actually changed to white trucks. And one day Wes said to me, honey, you've got to come past the land. I said, why? He said, you just got to come past the land. And as we drove past, I drove past, there were these little white trucks with the men unloading the trees off the back of the trucks onto the land and beginning to plant them. And I could have just taken that little snippet and put it smack bang on top of it, okay? So sometimes these sorts of things will superimpose over what you're actually seeing at the time. Dreams. Daniel 2:31-35. You see Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the symbolism there needed interpretation. Genesis 20:3, God came to Abimelech in a dream and said, all the stuff he said. Please take note of your dreams. Sorry, I'm rushing through this, but I want to get to the activations. Take note of your dreams. Many of you have heard this before. We're still laying a foundation for a prophetic today, and I make no apologies. It's great to go over these foundational things. Please take note of your dreams. I can't emphasize that enough. I try to have a journal next to my bed the whole time. I know some people grab up their phone and just say what they've seen. It might be the middle of the night. You will find that if you don't record them, unless it was particularly traumatic or troubling, most times you'll forget, and you'll forget detail. And the detail is so important. And I've got my journal full of dreams that I've got that I know are from God. And do I see something happening the week after? Generally not. But when I look back, because I date it all, I'll look back at something maybe 12 months old and I think, wow, that's exactly the situation I'm in now. And I can see details here and how it all lines up. The other thing that journaling does is that you begin to build your dream language. And I know I've said this before, but it's just a good example. I love dogs. A dog coming into a dream for me is a good thing. If you're terrified of dogs, a dog coming into a dream may indicate a bad thing. All right, so you have an individual language, and as you journal, you begin to see what the different things, that the kind of the vocabulary that God will use in your dreams for you. So it's really, really helpful. I noticed a few years ago that I had the most dreams when we were away on holiday, and I realized what it was. It was because I didn't have an alarm waking me up. This is a very practical tip, but a tip nonetheless. If you can get to bed early enough so that you go into a natural sleep and wake up naturally without an alarm actually busting into those dreams just at your wake-up time, you'll find you'll capture more. Often your dream time, well, there's almost like a semi-dream visionary time just as you're going to sleep and just when you're waking up. So that's just a little handy hint from Janet. Okay, that one's free. Still small voice. I remember being at a Sean Bowles seminar one time, and he was teaching the prophetic, and he said how he had asked a whole heap of really significant American prophets about how God spoke to them, and he was expecting them to say, oh, visions, and I see this, and I da-da-da. And 90% of the, well, of all of them, they all said 90% of the time it's that still small voice. And so what we want to be able to do is to recognize those little, it's almost like a little flash of thought that comes from nowhere, but it's coming from heaven, actually, and learn to capture it. If you don't understand it, say, God, what is this you're showing me? You ask questions, he begins to unpack it for you. But it's capturing those little snippets of thought that just come in and could easily just go again. And you'll find that they're often the Lord, and pull on the thread of thought. Okay, why am I seeing this, Lord? What am I sensing? What am I feeling? Angels, another way God speaks to people. He spoke to Philip in Acts 8:26. Get up and go to the south road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. And to Peter in prison, we know the angel came, whacked him on the side, and told him get up quickly. That's Acts 12:6-7. Trances are different. Trances are where you can't actually see what is around you. You're like in a different realm. You're in a different place altogether. And Wes and I experienced that 1996 when quite different to anything else that I'd experienced. I couldn't see the actual lounge that I was in. I was seeing a whole lot of other things, and I was actually experiencing it as well. So I was at the beginning, I was standing on a road. I was feeling the bitumen under my feet, okay? I was feeling that wind on my face. I was, all of my senses were alert, but within the trance. So it was as if a three-dimensional vision, and I couldn't see Wes. I couldn't see the lounge. My eyes were wide open. I could only see that whole other realm I was in. We saw that in Acts 10:9-11, with Peter. Now, creation speaks. Romans 1:20, for ever since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through his workmanship, all his creation, the wonderful things that he has made, so that they who fail to believe and trust in him are without excuse and without defense. Now, we can see and marvel at creation, and that's wonderful. But I just want to, how do I turn this on, honey? Thank you. Oh, look, there's a switch. Switches are amazing. There's a lot, and I just want to touch on this tonight, and I don't think I've ever taught on it before. A lot of Indigenous people have no problem at all with creation speaking to them. And it's not just because they look at a tree and think it's a nice tree. They actually feel things from the earth. And I can remember having had a lot of teaching that was all New Age. But I just want to put out a bit of a challenge to that thinking. I remember being told that that was demonized, that that was New Age. Yet God spoke to a prophet through a donkey. He obviously spoke to a certain fish to bring a coin up in its mouth to help pay tax. There's, what about the whale? How did the whale know to spit Jonah out or vomit him out, whatever it was, on exactly the right beach? We see and we marvel at creation, but I actually think there's more to it than that. Jesus said the very rocks could cry out. There's something within creation itself that particularly Indigenous people seem to be quite attuned to. They're not frightened. Probably no one's ever told them it was New Age. Just wondering. All right. I'll move on quick because I might have dug myself a wee hole with some of you, but God speaks to us through scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, all scriptures inspired by God for training, reproof and correction. Okay, most of us know that one. He speaks to us through tongues and interpretation of tongues, 1 Corinthians 12:8 to 10. I had a funny incident just the other day at a meeting, and you know, I don't know about you, many of you here, but I haven't heard interpretation of tongues all that much, and somebody was just praying in tongues, next thing one person was interpreting, and I oh, you know, like, I thought they were butting in, then I realised they were actually bringing the interpretation. It was so cool. So, yeah, I think we need to stir that one up a bit more as well. What about impressions? That's another way God speaks to us. Some one of you talked about impressions. Senses in our body and intuition, discernment of spirits is one of those things. One of our children would refuse, just as a little kid, we'd go to Rickerton Mall. There used to be one of those crystal shops in there, you know, and this little kid, you know, she would absolutely refuse to walk past that shop. And it was some time later, you know, they'd been there for some time, that they finally put a sign up on the door saying clairvoyant readings in here. Well, there was something about that little girl that she intuitively, she couldn't read, all right? She was just probably three, but she wouldn't walk past that shop. I had to go a different way. I was just reading this week. This was really cool. I thought this was real cool. I was reading this week an article about how to survive a shark attack. Because, you know, like, you need that every day of the week. Anyway, I was reading this article. Do you know what? One of the key elements that they said, so this is a secular article, right? And done by people that study shark attacks and marine biologists, this article. And he said, if you're in the sea and you have a sense of it not being safe, please get out. Human intuition is very strong, and in studies they have found that many people have actually been warned by an inner sense that it's unsafe. I just thought that was quite cool. There we are. I remember talking to somebody who made a study after the Christchurch earthquake and how many people had a sense of not going here or not doing this prior to the earthquake. God is speaking. We've got to learn to tune in. Take notice, and we'll find that we're hearing a heap more than we ever gave ourselves credit for. And what about prophetic acts? We see prophetic acts in Acts 21:11, where Agabus tied a belt around himself as a way of showing Paul how he would suffer. I had an incident here which I found somewhat humiliating, but I felt God wanted me to act out ringing a bell and walking backwards and forwards here on a Sunday morning going ding dong. Yeah, whoever wants to do that? Funny, no hands raised. You're not listening. No. Ding dong, ding dong. Within, I don't know how long it was, maybe a week, might have been a wee bit longer, there was this article. In fact, there were a lot of articles, and I've saved a heap of them because I felt somewhat comforted. That seismologists throughout the world were hearing this weird resonating going on in the earth that was repeating. It was going on, and they said, one had this quote, which I particularly loved the man, and he said, it was if the earth had become a giant bell. And we still didn't know what it was, but at the time, like, they didn't know what it was. They ended up saying they have no clue what it was, and it wasn't man-made, but the whole earth was resounding like a great bell at the time. Something was going on, and God had me acted out here, you know. But you all think I'm really weird now. That's all right. You're tonight. It's all good. I'm just saying, I've had times where I felt God tell me I had to lift the lid off the well. And in the spirit, I'm seeing a well here with a lid on it. And I've actually got to act. I know, I'm standing there going, God, can I just speak to it? In Jesus' name, move, 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 move. And he's saying, get down there and lift it off. You know, sometimes you just got to eat humble pie and be obedient and do it. So it's all right. At the conference that we just had, who was here when there was the four ladies with the gold? You were one of them, nah. You met them on a footpath coming. Look, they've all got, Margaret just said, I met them on the footpath coming in and I said, look, they've all got gold on. Okay, so those of you who weren't here, I know some of this stuff's blowing you right out of the water. Wes and I have been on a journey of trying to cope with this stuff, all right, and kind of learning to cope with it and embrace it. But anyway, so on this day at the conference that we held, four ladies turned up with a vivid gold jacket on. Okay, you might think, well, that's interesting coincidence. All four were on the New Zealand Prophetic Council. None of them had been in communication with one another. They all just randomly turned up at the same time. One of the prophets amongst them felt, do you know, I feel that this is something to do with where we live. Where do we live? They began to compare notes. One came from the north, one came from the south, one came from the east, and one came from the west. Yeah, starting to realize we thought, man, there's something significant going on here. So we ended up with prophetic unction, positioning them, 1, 2, 3, 4, where they began to prophesy. Like you see the Ezekiel prophecy, which came as speaking to the wind, speaking to the north wind, the west wind, the east wind, the south wind, and speaking to that wind to blow upon the dry bones of the church and speaking life, okay? So as well as that, and some of you may struggle with this, but it's all right, a Maori prophet that was amongst us had brought do you know the name of it now? I can't remember it. It's a beautiful, ornate carved stick. And before she left to her home in, where's the wonder from? Hamilton now, yeah. She was from Hokianga, wasn't she? Hokianga. Before she left, she felt God say to her, you must take that. And she said, it symbolizes the wind of the Holy Spirit. And so she had to take it on the plane and bring it here. And she kept saying, feeling like the Lord was saying it's going to be for a significant act. And so they had me stand in the middle with this thing and basically ground what God was doing and speak to the earth and speak to the dry bones and bang it into the ground. Now, even trying to describe it to you, it sounds weird. But it isn't. Because it was felt so right in the spirit. And there was so much reconciliation going on between the Māori and the Pākehā during that conference again. We had stuff last year, but it was like another level again this year. No, so we did this, we acted out because we were trying to go with what Holy Spirit was saying and acting out what he's showing. It was just too random. You know, these people turning up from the north, south, east and west, all wearing gold and God, okay. Well, over in Port Levy, there was an earthquake at the same time. And that, when I looked into the history of where the epicenter was, because it pays to look into such things if something happens and the earth actually somehow responds to something that you've just done, it was where the first Maori Anglican Church was planted, and it was where the largest gathering of Maori people in the 1800s was. It was 400 people in that area. And that's where the epicenter of this earthquake went off when we were doing speaking to the dry bones and taking the Maori wind thing. And I'm not trying to be derogatory. I'm just saying that there's so much stuff that we don't understand, but if we flow in the Holy Spirit, even if it involves actions that we don't understand, then things happen and things shift, and sometimes you find out ages afterwards, whoa, God, what you did in that moment was just amazing, and thank you that you allowed me to be part of it. but you don't always understand at the time. But we need to be courageous in the spirit. We need to say, yes, Lord, if you ask me to do this, I'm going to move. All right. That was a lot too. That was prophetic acts. Signs and wonders, we saw Gideon putting out a fleece. That's in Judges 6:33-40. God can speak through dance. Sometimes you'll see somebody dance, and we were at a conference not long ago, and there was about five men, maybe more, dancing up the front. Well, I tell you what, I've seen ladies dance, and I love seeing women dance, but these men, the actions, the strength, the power that was coming off them as they were breaking, it was just a spontaneous thing again. There was something being done and being released in the spirit. Man, it was wonderful. Prophecy, prophetic songs, Colossians 3:16. God speaks through words of knowledge. You'll be very familiar with that. Sometimes you can feel sympathetic pain in your body. Now, I'm not just talking about words of knowledge, which we may operate in here even tonight, as in getting sympathetic pain for, do you know what I mean when I say that? You're feeling something that's actually somebody else's pain, and then you get to pray for them, and they get healed. That's what I'm talking about when I'm saying sympathetic pain. I was at a camp, a Christian camp one time, and suddenly, randomly, my thumb dislocated. Like, I wasn't doing anything. Suddenly, my thumb is at this weird angle, and it's dislocated, and it hurt like anything. And I'm going, oh, God, heal my thumb. And I'm trying to flick it back in or do anything. And it's like, it was just gnarly. And I couldn't get the thing to go back in. And I'm thinking, do I have to go to a doctor? I'm in the middle of this Christian camp. This is just, what on earth? After a few hours, a lady came up to me, and she was a significant leader at that camp, and she said, I wondered if you might pray for me. She said, I'm feeling so dislocated from the body. As soon as she said that, I thought, okay, let me pray for you. And I'm saying, God, please let this be what my thumb is all about. Do you know, I prayed for her, and we just dealt with some of the stuff that had been really affecting her. And before our eyes, my thumb went back, and I was like, my hands like this, praying for her, and it's out. I don't move it any differently and nothing else. It just goes back into joint while I'm praying. And she got an amazing release. But what I'm saying is sometimes you get weird things like this actually happening in your body, and it's linked with what God is wanting to do in the spirit. Sometimes it's symbolic, sometimes it's literal. There we are. Spiritual happenings. Now we talked about spiritual happenings. We see this in the Bible with Aaron's rod budding. It's in Numbers 17:2-8. Many of you may have experienced numbers recurring. Yep, there's lots of nods around the room with that. I've seen video footage of a clock going forward really fast. It was Bob Jones when he died, wasn't it? The hospital. Anyone seen that video? It's on YouTube. It just messes with your head. This clock going fast as he's passing away. Sometimes people, and I've experienced this, see billboards pulsing. I've had driving, and there's a billboard, and two words will flash. It's like they'll pulse at me. You know, like they'll go from a 10 font to a 38 font as I'm looking at them. And then in the next one, but of different words. Now, if I quickly write them down or remember them, I end up with a full sentence by the time I've gone a few kilometres down the road. It's just... The front row is saying that the billboards say, be kind to your husband, be kind to your husband, in case you hadn't heard that. Number plates with meaning. How many, I'm just curious, who has seen, you've been praying, you've had something going on in your life, whatever, and then there's a number plate in front of you and it says something exactly in line with you. I saw, yep, look around. Or you're driving behind a truck and there's something written on the back of the truck and it's like, really, God, this is amazing. I mean, it makes you chuckle. Or shake your head. I remember talking to a guy and he was putting it before God, whether he should fast or not fast, and if he should be fasting concerning an issue going on in his life, then what kind of fast should he have? And he was at some meeting, and the first guy that came up and talked to him had a name tag on, and it was, his name was Daniel Fast. So again, some keys to hearing. God is speaking. Think of the child playing, the mother speaking, the child immersed in the game but not listening. First thing, listen. Second thing, stop and look. Moses had to turn aside to look at what he was seeing. Look at what you are seeing. Look at what you're sensing. Look at that. Stop from it. That thought that goes through. Stop and look. Okay? Focus on it. Jeremiah 1:11, God spoke to Jeremiah and told him to go to the potter's house, and then he asked him, what do you see? And then he gave him a prophetic word from what he saw. We're just about through this. Are we desiring to listen? That's number three. Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. It also says, covet to prophesy. So some of it is how you position your heart, okay? Are you desiring to prophesy? Are you desiring to hear his voice? And the fourth one, ask questions of God. So, another note, learn to pull on the thread. And listen, if you've got children and grandchildren, listen to them. I had an example with one of our grandchildren, Lincoln. He came up when he was a little kid and he gave me this piece of paper, and the piece of paper was completely coloured in. And he said, it's for you, Grandma. Now, I could have finished the conversation there. But I said to him, what is it, Lincoln? What's this? I don't know, it's maybe four. He said, it's a wall. Now, Lincoln didn't know, but I'd been really struggling with some issues in my life, and it felt like, and I'd internally verbalised it, if not even set to words, it feels like there's this great wall, and I'm just needing the Lord to break it down because it just seems like an impossible obstacle in front of me. And Lincoln goes, it's a wall. And I said, oh, okay, Lincoln. Anything else about the picture? Now, honestly, it just looked like a piece of paper full of scribble, right? Anything else about the wall? And Lincoln goes, oh, yeah, Jesus is on the other side of it, and he's about to kick it down for you, Grandma. Pull on the thread. Pull on the thread. Ask the questions. Listen to children. God can speak through the children. All right. Just some points for tonight. When you're praying and ministering to somebody, don't be frightened to start by praying blessing. Lord, just bless them. Don't be frightened. Don't feel intimidated like you've got to come out with a hear thee, the Lord will say unto thee. You don't. Just feel love and care towards that person that you're ministering to. And the heart of God will flow through you, and you'll just find it'll flow so much easier rather than getting all tight about it, okay? And it's okay to notice something in the natural. Is your eye drawn to something? Ask God why. Resist the fear of making mistakes. Practice makes perfect. I'm simply learning how to hear God's voice, all right? You'll never have the joy of knowing you got it right unless you have a go. And we are in a love-based kingdom, not performance-based. It's about being willing. And I've told you this story before, but I still find it so funny. Robert Hodgkin said to us about it, how he had a word, he was learning words of knowledge, and he went into this big amusement park in the States, and he went up to this first lady, and he said, is your name Mary? And she said, no, what do you want to know? And like, it was all a bit gnarly. And anyway, he went up to this next person that after he thought he felt the anointing, and he was pretty sure he had it right, and he said, excuse me, is your name Mary? And she goes, again, no. And so then after sort of picking himself up off the ground in humiliation, he had the third go and went up to this lady and he said, is your name Mary? And she said, why? And he said, because, and he delivered the word. She burst into tears. He ended up leading her to the Lord. She got filled with the Holy Spirit on the spot. And then she said, oh, by the way, my name's like Dawn or something like that. It wasn't even her name. but the word was accurate. All of it to say that the person you're talking to, God really loves them. So let's not limit him because we're looking at our own inadequacies and therefore not brave enough to have a go. He's much bigger than any of our inadequacies. I mean, we're saying a story about how you were having early on in our ministry and you're saying, God, I'm no good at this and I'm no good at that and I'm no good at this. How can I be a pastor? And God says, you think I'm surprised? You think I didn't know that? He knows our frame. I'm trying to deconstruct some things here. We put all these construction things up. We build these things up to actually hold us back. But he's bigger than every inadequacy and fault and flaw that you have. And he loves that person in front of you more than you could ever imagine. So we just trust him. Okay, protocols for prophesying. I've got a slide here today. Tonight, we are going to be positive. We're going to be brief. We're going to be kind. We're going to be humble. And we're going to be bold, okay? Those are the key elements for tonight. When I say be brief, I've said it and I'll keep saying it because you may have a word for somebody in an elevator. All you've got is however long that elevator takes. And you cannot spend... I think that every prophetic word you're going to bring is going to have half an hour of explaining the meaning and you're just not going to have that with people. You're not going to have that with the girl at the checkout. You're not going to have that amount of time, okay? So we're going to learn to just sense what God is saying and just say it. And it might be just something, Noah, I noticed your shoes, and then off I go into something about them. Often you have to start off with this little seed thought, but it's taking the courage to actually say the little seed thought that then, whew, God just waters it and the thing just grows right in front of you, okay? You all right? All good? Okay. Well, just a wee note. We see in part. And a false prophet is someone with a false motive or attitude. Balaam had the right words, but the wrong motive, and he was called a false prophet. Be teachable, don't be defensive, clean up your mess and apologize. It's okay to say statements like, I had a feeling, I was wondering if, is there anything here that you can relate to? Some of these just help to soften and ease the whole thing. Take the tension out of it. All I'm saying, just because you might get something wrong doesn't make you a false prophet. Right? You don't need to be frightened about that. Okay. First one we're going to do, a couple of these activations are ones you've done before because I'm warming you up for something that you haven't done before. That's why I said I had a twinkle in my eye this morning. All right. The first one we're going to do... we've got some PowerPoint pictures you can bring up here. There we are. So this is just to help you to have a springboard off something. You're going to look at one of those pictures. Actually, first of all, you're going to find somebody in the room. Then you're going to look at these pictures and you're going to say, which picture is your eye drawn to? Then what aspect of the picture is your eye drawn to? And then ask the Lord just to ask him, Father, just help me to articulate what it is about the tree, the snow, the whatever it is that you see, what it is about that relates to this person, and then you're going to bring a word for them. Does that make sense? Is anybody not get that? I don't mind. There's no shame here. You're all okay. All right. Just up off your seats then. Go find somebody. And again, we're going to move pretty quickly, and then you're going to, then the other person, so you don't also have to swap around again, then the other person and your partner, is they're going to look for a picture for you and bring that word for you, okay? So you are going to prophesy over each other. I'm going to time you. Give me a wave when you've got, or rather, give me a wave if you haven't found somebody. Moving, find somebody. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you desire to give good gifts to your children. Father, I thank you that we can confidently know that you want to bless us and pour out for us. Father, we just release that flow of the prophetic tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that you're speaking to your children. You're speaking to us all the time, and your sheep hear your voice. So, Father, we're your sheep. And, Lord, we hear your voice. We thank you now. We're just tuning in to what you're saying. Father, we just let go of all fear, intimidation. In Jesus' name, we let it go, and we step into trust. We step into trust. Okay. Now, you've all, anyone wave who hasn't got a partner? You're all good? Can't see. Right? Thank you. You need a partner there? It's okay if you go in with three. Maybe go with those two guys down there. There's three of you. That's all right. Okay. Have a wee look at those pictures. Choose a picture. Ask God to highlight an aspect of that picture and then use that to prophesy. First person should be just about winding up and going on to second person. Second person, you should be speaking now. Okay, give me a wave if you're finished. Just another minute. Second person winding up now, please. All right, winding up that one. If you can take your seat now, please. What I did forget to tell you, and I am sorry, I highly recommend that if you've got a phone with you and you know how to do the record thing, do have it with you and push record. Some of these prophetic words you'll find to be quite profound and quite significant for your life. If you haven't done that and you want to quickly write down some key thoughts now, we don't want to just treat the prophetic lightly. We want to value it. We want to treasure it. And any prophetic words that you've had through the years, I'm just going to encourage you to pull those out again. If you've got old prophetic words in your drawers, well, pull them out again. I just sort of had a picture right then of prophetic words being pulled out of someone's drawer, and they were all dusty. And as they blew on them, they blew the dust off. God blew life onto it again. So, all right, I just saw that. And that's that might be for a few people here. There's actually treasure. There's treasure in your top drawer. Okay. So what you were doing then is you were seeing what your eye was drawn to. We're going to do that again now. You're going to find somebody different. What you're going to do is you're actually just going, you're not going to look at the pictures. You're going to just look at the person, because this is what it's going to be more like in real life. Having said that, there is times that you'll be talking to somebody, and you're trying to have a conversation with them here, but something is drawing your attention behind them. Now, that might might be just because you're easily distracted, but it may be that God's actually wanting to draw your attention to that particular thing. It might be a big tree, for instance, and God's wanting to say about how they are like that tree or something about it. So if you find yourself being distracted by someone and something in the background when you're talking to somebody, just send a little message up to the Lord God. Is there something here I'm actually supposed to be taking notice of? All right. That's all it is. Just send little questions upward. And you'll find you're getting a lot more insight into things, just in life in general. He's just always speaking. So now you're going to find somebody and you're just going to look at them. Just like looking at the man that's in the lift, in the elevator next to you. You're just going to look. My husband's laughing. Some smart thing in the front row again, I'm sure. I'll move away. All right, up you jump. Again, sorry, I forgot to tell you, take your phones with you. Go find somebody. And then you're just going to have a look and see what is your eye drawn to. and then use that to prophesy, bring a word for them from the Lord. Again, we are going to be pretty quick because we're learning to be short, sharp, and snappy. All right. Let's wave if you haven't got somebody. Looking for hands. Everyone's got a partner. There's a young man down here needs a partner. Maybe somebody could gather up this young man here into their group. You're kind of free there, that young boy there. Anyone else need a partner? You're good to go? Okay, right. Now, you're just looking over them, just saying, Holy Spirit, what are you drawing my attention to? And then bring a word off that. It's just about the second person's turn. If you haven't changed already, do a swap over. All right, give me a wave if you're finished. One or two of you, we just need to be pulling this up to a close now and then have taking your seat. Thank you. I'm getting you to sit down simply so that I've got your attention. That's just great. Thank you very much. All right. How are we going? Good, good. Okay. So this next one that we're going to do is similar again, but what we're going to do is we're going to actually practice getting that impression in our mind, okay? So you're going to find someone, you're going to face them, but then you're going to shut your eyes. So you're not going to look at their clothing or anything else. We have done this one with people blindfolded before, and it's fascinating when you actually blindfold people and have them prophesy over people, often the comment that you get coming back is that it was easier. It's like I often find prophesying over somebody that I don't know at all easier than someone I do know, because sometimes I start second-guessing myself, you know. Oh, no, maybe I already knew that, you know. So what you're going to do is you're going to find somebody. I don't expect you to walk around with your eyes shut. Find someone with your eyes open and then face one another, shut your eyes, and just ask the Lord to give an impression in your mind, and then you're going to bring that, okay? We're starting to stretch now. It's all right. We've done some warm-ups. Now we're starting to stretch. Okay, up you get. Way, find somebody. Give me a wave if you haven't found anybody yet. Okay. Over here, there's people in this section. You still looking for somebody? You can partner with me, I don't mind. Anyone else looking for someone? Paul, could you come on up here? There's a young man up here. You guys worked together before or not? Okay, you're good? All right, anyone else? You're all good? Okay, away you go if you haven't already. Remember, shut your eyes. Just another minute, that first person. All right, second person, you should be well into it by now. Yeah. And just another minute and we'll wrap this one up. Give me a wave if you're finished. Okay. Second person, winding up now, please. Winding up now, please. Okay. Just out of interest sake, who found that easier than the earlier activations? Some of you. Who found the first one the easiest? A number of you. Who found the second one easier? A number of you. Already we're seeing different patterns as to how God speaks to you. It's okay that we're all different, and we will find each one of these things. Some of you will find easy, some of you will find quite difficult, and not feel natural at all. Okay, if you're just beginning to realize that you hear the voice of God, it can take a little bit to get the momentum and to get going. But the more you practice, the better it'll get, and the more surprises you'll get when you find out, man, I nailed it. All right, now I know we've done this before, but we are just laying up a foundation. This is the one we're going to do now, we have done before, and the next one after that, we haven't. So this is your last warm-up, all right? But it's with a bit of stretch in it. Okay, we've talked about words of knowledge before, but one way to operate in words of knowledge is the whole sympathetic pain thing, or imagining somebody standing before you and you feel your eye drawn to the right shoulder or the left kneecap or whatever. And that's one way that you can operate in words of knowledge. So we're going to push into that for a couple of minutes. What I want you to do, everybody stand up to start with. I want you just to imagine the basic outline, or like almost a mannequin standing before you, someone standing before you, and just I want you in your mind's eye to run your eye over that body and just see if there's anything highlighted to you in that body. Now, if you have done this umpteen times before, I'm encouraging you now you're going to push in for more. So, for instance, if you see somebody with they've got an issue on the right side of your head, I want you to push into what happened to the right side of their head. And if you've done that before, I want you to push a wee bit more and go, okay, it was an accident. When was the date of the accident? Or how did the accident happen? You're just going to keep pushing in for greater accuracy, okay? Does that make sense to everybody? So I want, no matter how experienced you are, I want you to try to push just a little bit further, just a bit more out of your comfort zone. This is a safe place. Just push them. Okay. And then as soon as you've seen something, I want you to come on up here. We're going to share the microphone. You know, share what you say, and then the person with that condition will come and you can pray for them. God reveals things because he plans to heal them. Okay. You can have real confidence with that. If a person doesn't come and stand before you, don't automatically think you've got it wrong. You may meet somebody this week that's got exactly that condition. It's also good to, if you're standing here and you're hearing a word come out and you have got a family member that's got something that's been described, please come forward and get prayed for in proxy for that person. Holy Spirit knows our heart. If you've got somebody on your heart that you're really worried about because of a medical condition, he knows that. It's likely to come out in a word of knowledge. Might not be for you, but it might be this person that you love and you're concerned about, all right? So We're stretching it out a wee bit here. All right, please come on up if you see things. Grant was up first. Good. Come on. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Especially if you have never done this in your life, I want you up here. But you've got something, I mean. And again, we're going to just share very briefly. I don't want you to go into a teaching thing. But if you've got dates and times and something like that, you just share it. But this is not a teaching thing. Come and stand next to Wes, maybe. Just stand in there. That's right. And if it's you or you think it might be you, can I please encourage you to come quickly? And some of you may respond because someone in the line has given you, and so we're going to have an awful lot of juggling around, and that's absolutely fine. Grant, you're up here first.
Okay, I sent somebody with carpal tunnel syndrome. And the sense that I got, this could be dangerous, but it was a youngish person.
I just got lower back pain, and I feel like it's from a strain. It could also be your kidneys down here.
I got right knee bending and metal. Right knee bending and metal. Hello. right knee bending and metal.
Right dislocated hip recent.
I got a pain going from my neck down into my shoulder, so I'm not sure if it's nerve damage or dislocation of the shoulder.
The aftermath of a fall, a heavy fall that bruised the top of your right arm.
I got coccyx, the coccyx, your tailbone, and such a lot of problems sitting, and you're very uncomfortable all the time, even walking, but it's the coccyx bruising.
Oh, sorry.
I got like pains and cramps in the shoulders.
Yeah, I just felt the right hip, but it was sort of like the groin area in the right groin.
I felt that as soon as you started to mention that, I saw the knee and the meniscus of the knee, and that it caused through a fall. And I immediately thought of of Chris. Yeah.
Very good. Do you want? Might be best if Chris comes down. Yeah. So it'd be this hip. A damage in this hip caused by maybe a fall on some stairs. I think it's been a few hips, haven't there?
And just, that is loud, I'll hold it down a bit. Please try it out. You get prayed for something, give it a go. I hurt my back quite nastily 2 days ago. I was in considerable pain. It is completely, instantly free, okay? So do try it out.
I sense there's someone with a sore left elbow because you fell off your bike in March last year.
I sensed there was someone with a problem at the back of the calf, on the left calf, and I think it's something to do with the skin that's not healing up.
I saw somebody with the left thigh, and it's like something has impacted it, like something's hit it on the left thigh. It felt like it was a lady as well.
Like a really sharp kind of pain in your abdomen or stomach area, and it's caused by being really under a lot of stress and tension, which causes it all to squeeze up, and I feel like God wants to bring release there.
Possibly for a lady who was in a small car accident yesterday, pain in the neck on the left hand side.
I got the left eye, like right in the socket, right in the socket of the left eye. Whether it's, I don't know, but yeah.
my one was left knee that felt like it was on fire.
Well, I got, I don't know the name of the place, but it's like between your hip and like up here. It's like right in the middle. I feel like for some reason, it probably makes no sense, but it's like something that ate.
I got right knee as well, but diabetes.
I got like thigh, like right thigh. Something happened on July maybe. Yeah.
I got neck and right knee.
God wants that right knee healed.
Just got an injury to the eye, to the right eye.
Wonderful. Okay. If you responded to the word and you feel a change in your body, can you raise your hands, give me a wave? Look, look around. There's hands waving. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's fabulous. If you didn't have someone come and stand in front of you, as again, don't be discouraged. It may be somebody that you meet this week. If you meet somebody with exactly that condition this week, please pray with boldness. God revealed it because he plans to heal it. Okay? Real boldness. You can have real courage when it comes to that. Okay. And as soon as you're finished, if you can sit down, and we'll just move into the last activation for the night. And there's, Christine, there's one last slide that I need to come up. Thank you. There we go. And if we can just finish up praying, that would be marvelous. Thank you. All right. For this next one, I need 5 volunteers. And this is not the volunteer, it's not scary, the 5 volunteers, you're simply going to stand here, all right? So, now that got you moving. As long as, five people, I need 5 people standing here, and there's just something I need to ask you first before we go forward. Okay, actually come up on the stage for me and just face the people.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, great.
Now. Okay. I just need to ask you, just look at me for a minute, Margaret, look around as well. I just need to make sure that I've got this right. If someone, is it easy for you to define, just go yes or no, I don't want you to tell me, but is it easy for you to define and tell me your mother's name? You know your mother's name? Yep, good, okay. Your own date of birth, you know your own date of birth? Okay, good. Some people are chuckling at this, but the reality is if you get somebody up and they don't actually know, then it makes it pretty tricky. About the colour of your house, can you? Is it easy to you could define the colour of your house. Yep, good. The number on your letterbox. Yep, you're good with that. If you have a pet, you could define its name and what it actually is. And you may not have a pet, and that's all right. That's good, okay. And what about favourite dessert? Or is that too hard? Might be bad. You just have to make your mind up, nah, that's all. And stick to one for tonight. You good? Good, okay, all right. Now you can turn around and face everybody. Hopefully you've got a piece of paper. If you haven't got a piece of paper and you can do this on your phone, what I want you to do is I want you to number down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, okay? Sorry, first of all, I'm just confusing you all together. This is Margaret, okay? So you're going to put Margaret down as the first name on your piece of paper. Annie, who just had to tell me her name even though I've known her name. This is just a bad moment for me. Annie, that's Nawa. Help me out here.
Shirley?
Jason. All right. Thank you, everybody, for loving me and being gracious. That's why I stopped having Tupperware parties, because I could never introduce my friends to my friends. You think I'm joking. Anyway, so we have got, you've got, everybody got their names down. All right, now we've got this up on the screen. What I'm wanting you to do, we are stretching tonight, okay? I absolutely hated doing this. Patricia King had us do this, and I hated it. I freaked out no end. And Dan McCollum had us doing it, and we had to do it again and again and again, and it was absolutely fascinating that as we did it again and again, many of us went from 0 out of 6 to 1 out of 6, and by the end of like about 45 minutes of doing it, many of us were getting 6 out of 6, and we were utterly shocked. But it's that repetition, and when we're not going to be doing this for half an hour, we're just getting a little taste tonight. Okay, what you're going to do is you're going to ask Holly, what now? Oh, it's not your mother's date of birth, it's their own date of birth. Okay, sorry, that may have been confusing for you. So you're trying to ask Holy Spirit, and so with numbers, I'm asking the Lord, just let me see it in a picture. So often I'll just see the numbers will just flash into my mind. Now, don't be hard on yourself. This is an advanced activation, all right? So all of these people can answer these questions clearly. And so what you're going to do is under each one of the names, you're going to put what you're sensing the answer to those things are. And then we're going to find out. And we'll get an idea. All right. Everybody, does anyone not understand? Give me a wave. You're all good. Down there. The names again. Margaret. Annie. Oh, Margaret. Annie. Nawa. Shirley. And Jason. I'll have it by the time we get to the end of the night. All right. Good. Jason. Shirley. Nawa. Annie. Margaret, told you I'd get it by the end of the night. The date of birth, you may just get their actual birthday, you know, not the full, it's absolutely fine. Colour of their house, maybe just an impression that you get in your mind, or you may get a further detail, like you might see what it's made of as well as the colour. Just write that down if you get more detail. What I do is I'll shut my eyes and I'll imagine myself walking up to their back door, or I'll imagine myself walking past their house and looking in the spirit at their letterbox and seeing if I can read the number on it. Dana McCollum has got a whole team of people and they're trained at finding missing people and they work with the police. And there have been a number of people, children and people that have been abducted that have been found because they've been able to do this, ask Holy Spirit and picture where these people are. It's absolutely fabulous. God knows. God cares. So while this may seem kind of meaningless, we're actually pushing in to be able to be a blessing. Okay? You saw Jesus operate in word of knowledge when he was able to describe to Nathaniel that how he'd seen him sitting under a tree and could explain things to him that opened Nathaniel up to then receive what Jesus had to say. That's what word of knowledge does. It opens up a person's heart. I don't know how many times I've had people swear at me wondering how on earth, but they didn't use those words, I knew what I just said. But then you're able to then say, and God sees and knows you. And this is what he wants to tell you. So that's why, if you need a reason why. Okay, have you finished writing down what you thought for Margaret? Give me a wave. A number of you. Okay, have you finished writing down what you thought for Annie? Yeah. All right. Try not to second guess it. Just those impressions that come in. Nawa, have you finished writing down what you thought for Nawa? A number of you are up to Nawa, I think, or somewhere in here. All right, just going to put a wee bit of time pressure on you as well. We've just got another minute and you will have completed Nawa because you all love me. Give me a wave if you've done Nawa. Have you? Okay, moving on. Right, she'll be finishing up Shirley now. Who's finished, Shirley? Okay, and Jason? Who's finished with putting down some things for under Jason's name? A number of you? Okay, just finishing up. All right. So when I ask you for your date of birth, you don't have to say the year, all right? You can just say the first two numbers if you're more comfortable with that. That's absolutely fine. Give me a wave if you're finished. I'm hoping that most of you have. Just mimic this. No, nobody is. Paul, awesome, man. You're right. Down the back. All right. Wave to me when you're done. Good. Barry. Janet, thank you. I don't want to keep you too much later. And we want to be able to try and learn how to move fairly quickly. when we did the training in the States with this, I found the longer I spent on it, the worse I got. I had to try and catch those quick little thoughts, those quick impressions that come in and not go, oh, it might be this, not might be that. So that's why I'm trying to keep time pressure on you to actually help you, not to make it harder. I want you to learn to just say, what is it, Lord? And write down what you think, that first little thought that comes in. Okay, here we go. Good, we are moving on. Margaret, can you please answer those?
My mother's name is Margaret, but she was always known as Peggy. And my date of birth is the 31st of July. And the colour of my house is sort of a light orangey brick. And the number of the letterbox is 25A. And I have a pet, and he's a little black cat called Oliver. And my favourite dessert is stewed apricots.
All right, very good. And now when we've...
With cream. With cream.
With cream. So if anybody had it with cream, you get an extra point. Come on, you got the cream. Annie, can you tell us?
So my mother's name was Merrill. My birth date is 23rd of October. Colour of my house is grey and... kind of a light grey and a dark grey. My letterbox number is 35. I have a pet dog and her name is Breeze. And my favourite dessert is pavlova.
Thanks, Annie. Now.
My mother's name is Rawinia, also known as Ra. My date of birth is the 1st of November. Colour of my house is charcoal with white trim. The number of my letterbox is 39, and I have two pet cats, Mo and Charlie. And my favourite dessert is lemon meringue pie.
My mother's name is Isabel. My mother's name is Isabel. My date of birth is the 20th of February. The colour of my house is light brown. My letterbox is number 8. I don't have any pets. And my favourite dessert is jelly tip ice cream.
My mother's name is Alison. 2nd of January. Grey with blue trim. 76. No pets. And cheesecake.
Cheesecake was the last one. Did you hear everything that Jason said? You didn't catch it all? Jason, run up here a minute because you just probably might have gone a wee bit fast.
Just say it all again slowly.
Alison.
Alison, mother's name.
2nd of January. Grey with blue trim. 76. No pets. And cheesecake.
All good. All right. Who got 6 out of 6? Who got 5 out of 6? All right. Yeah, for all for any one person. Okay, let's try it this way. Who got one thing right for one person? Woohoo! Who got 2 things right? A number of you. 3. Okay, we need to push into this one more. I told you it was advanced and I was really sweating when we were doing it. But the more we did it, the better we got. So how did you find that? Hard, yeah. I love it. I love hearing the stories of the people that just get all this detail. And just hear it all from the Lord and just can read someone's mail and give all this information out for them and then just launch into incredible prophetic words for them. I just find that so exciting and so encouraging. Wes and I are heading up to hear to Prophet Tamarind is his name, Apostle Tamarind in Auckland. Mike Connell's brought him into the country and I heard... just one story was relayed to me that he was in a meeting in Hastings last year and he pointed to this man, and I'm just making up the names because I don't know the name, all right? So he points to this man and he says, God's got a word for you, Stephen. And this man says, my name's not Stephen. And he said, God's got a word for you, Stephen. He said, my name is not Stephen. And he said, indeed, your name is Stephen. And you've come from Africa, and when you were there in the night, you ran somebody over in your car, and you rolled what you thought was their body over into a ditch, and then you fled without saying anything to your family. You fled the country, you came into New Zealand, you changed your name. By this time, the man is crying hysterically, and he said, indeed, your name is Stephen, and your parents are just longing for you to be in contact with you, because the man did not die, and you're to make contact with your parents, because it's grieving their hearts so much. So this man is in hysterical tears, as God just reads his mail, and he ends up, of course, being restored with his family, finding out after living with this guilt and thinking he's killed somebody all this time, God in his grace reveals that he never did. That's why we're growing in the prophetic. That's why we're growing in the prophetic. Let's just give Catherine and Chris a round of applause. That was just lovely. Thank you so much. And, of course, we won't have lovely backing music when we're in the elevator with someone, unless it's got that tinny music playing, but it does help a little bit with just a sense of being the presence of God and tuning us in. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you want to speak to us and you're speaking all the time, Lord God. We pray that, Father, we would commit to stretching in our prophetic gift, to growing in it, Lord. We thank you for how you've healed people tonight, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for the way you've encouraged us and challenged us. And, Lord, we make a commitment before you to grow in the prophetic. And we thank you for your grace. Thank you for those people that you're going to put across our path even this week. And we ask for courage and boldness to step out into realms that we haven't before, knowing that you are with us and you love us and you love them even more than we understand. Thank you, Lord, for your grace tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.